Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
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 Hello.
Hello.
This is Miranda Spiro with One Star, and we're going to get started pretty soon. This is our NSCHB Toolkit and Assessment Process call, so thank you all for joining. I'm going to take attendance, but just be aware that this call is being recorded. If you can please mute your phones by pressing mute or star 1, that's great to help with feedback. And we will also take attendance at the end for anyone who missed the beginning. So I can get started with that, and then I will hand it over to Emily. So do we have someone from Amarillo ISD?
Here, Jill Humphrey.
Hi, Jill.
Hey.
And what about American Youth Work? Okay. AISD?
Here.
Avante?
Here.
Okay. And if I can get those names as well, who from AISD?
Linda Cavazzo.
Hi, Linda. And then Avante?
Aisha Sandoval and Gloria Yanez.
Okay, great. Boys and Girls Club?
This is Caroline Anthony.
Breakthrough?
Sure, Donnie's here.
Don, what's up?
Donnie's here.
Okay, hi. City Year?
Yes, this is Rod Mosley and Mariko Pryor.
Hi there.
City Rock American City Year Headquarters is also on.
Was that Aaron Rock or? I'm hearing a lot of feedback, so if you all could mute your phones unless you're speaking, that'd be great. How about City Square?
Liz Kirkman.
Hi, Liz. College Forward.
College Forward. And yeah, Monica and Sunny are here.
Great. CIS of Central Texas.
Hi, this is Jennifer. I'm here.
Hi, Jennifer. And CIS Heart of Texas.
This is Meredith. I'm here.
Hi, Meredith. Front staff?
Lori's here.
Hi, Lori. HCDE? Literacy Coalition of Central Texas? All right, Project Grad?
We're here, Arlette and Chris Williams.
And what about PT, Project Transformation? Okay, Reading Partners?
Hi, it's Brittany Princess here.
Okay, Swift?
Yes, it's Jill Colon and Sylvan Rossi.
Okay, hi there.
Hi.
And Teach for America?
This is Sue Yun.
Okay. And UTB, University of Texas?
This is Larissa.
Hi, Larissa. And then Travis County, I thought I heard Charlotte. Was that?
No, not Charlotte, but Jacqueline, I'm here.
Oh. Hi, guys.
Yeah, and Lydia, I'm on the call, too.
Okay, great. All right, UF? United Way?
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
And how about UNT Hippie?
Yeah, this is Keisha. I'm here.
Keisha? And then ACE?
Yeah, we're here. Mary Ellen, Nathan, and Katie.
All right, was there anyone I didn't get when I was calling attendance but just joined?
Yeah, Erin Allen and Kate Castle are here from American Youth Work.
Okay, great. Anybody else? All right, well, thank you. Okay, well, I will hand it over to Emily.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Emily Steinberg, Director of National Service Programs here at One Star. I just want to take a moment to thank all of you for joining us at relatively last-minute notice for this important call regarding National Service Criminal History Check compliance. We recently learned about some of these changes from CNCS while I was in Washington, D.C. with our annual meeting with the corporation. And since then, you probably all saw that an email was sent out on September 30th by the Corporation for National and Community Service regarding the new CNCS Criminal History Check compliance assessment process and compliance period. And so rather than waiting till our grantee call next week, we felt that this was relatively urgent And this will probably be a relatively quick call, but we wanted to at least make sure that we had you all together to go over what that email contained on September 30th. So hopefully you all can pull that up and be referencing that while I talk about this process a little bit more. So first off, I just want to acknowledge that we do not yet have all of the details on what this process will entail. However, like all of you probably, we breathed a very heavy sigh of relief when we did hear about this from the corporation. And by and large, this is extremely good news for all of us in the field that the corporation is, you know, taking these compliance issues seriously enough to kind of give us all a moment to stop and to assess where we're at and to conduct additional training for National Service Program staff across the country in order to ensure our compliance moving forward, but also to kind of wipe the slate clean and move forward with a fresh, clean start for all of us regarding criminal history checks. So as all of you probably know, many of us have already been through this process through the One-Star criminal history check self-audit that happened back in 2012 and 13. And so for many of you, this is probably like history repeating itself. And let's just think of it as Texas being ahead of the curve nationally. I think we really set a precedent by doing our own self-audits back then, for those of you who were part of that process. And so I think that all of you should be in very, very good shape for this new process that the corporation will be undertaking. So as you probably saw in the email, the corporation has been working with the Office of Inspector General to assess some of the compliance findings related to criminal history checks. And not surprisingly, they found that things are messy out there in the field, and there are still a lot of compliance issues related to, you know, vendors, related to not having access to state repositories, related to programs just misunderstanding the requirements. And in particular also, you know, not necessarily running the checks on grant-funded staff. You know, I think many of us have focused more on running checks on members, and sometimes grant-funded staff fall through the cracks with the criminal history check process as well. So in addition to all of those, the corporation has just acknowledged that there are still very many issues out there and that they needed to do something more to address these compliance issues. And so they will be hosting this assessment process and period from October 13th through November 30th, 2014. That's a six-week period that will start this coming Monday. And so we wanted to have this call this week to ensure that you all understand what needs to happen by Monday, October 13th. And then from there, we will be working with you throughout the six-week period to ensure that we provide training and assistance and ensure that you all, you know, get all of the requirements taken care of that the corporation will be issuing. So like I said, we at OneStar do not yet have all of the answers on this process. My understanding is that as of next week, the corporation will be sharing with all state commissions, such as OneStar, the final toolkit, which will include an assessment form, most likely through an online platform like SurveyMonkey or something similar, that will be basically like an online self-audit tool. And that you all will be required to assess compliance for all currently covered individuals serving in your program as of this program year, 2014-2015. So that is our current understanding from the corporation. Also with the toolkit, it is our understanding that we will be required, all of us as National Service Program staff, to take some online training courses that will be required by the corporation to show that we did receive training and technical assistance on what the NSDHC requirements are. And so during the six-week process, it's important that you designate the program staff who will be taking that online tutorial and completing that training, because you will be responsible for basically certifying that you as an AmeriCorps program did receive that training and that you did communicate it within your organization and that you are taking responsibility for compliance moving forward after the November 30th deadline. So basically, as of December 1st, the corporation expects 100% compliance with National Service criminal history checks after this assessment period is over. And so I want to be very, very clear that our compliance, you know, drawing a line in the sand date will be December 1st for 100% compliance with both member checks and grant-funded staff checks. Now, the reason why we wanted to have this call today instead of waiting until next week is because if you look at the section of the CNCS email that went out under assessment plan, the corporation basically states that any findings of noncompliance during this assessment period will not result in disallowed costs with the following exceptions. And so, by and large, that's really great news. There won't be disallowed costs, but there is one very big, there's four exceptions, but one of them, I think, has a lot of importance. So the first one is if an individual refused to undergo the criminal history check or self-certify, then that is an automatic disallowed cost. So if you continued to hire or enroll somebody who would not undergo the criminal history check, you will result in disallowed costs. If an individual in your program or a staff member gave a false statement when the program inquired about their criminal history, then there will be disallowed costs. If a check component did not clear and the individual was registered or required to be registered on a state sex offender registry or had been convicted of murder and you still enrolled or hired them, there will be disallowed costs. And in my mind, one of the more important glaring ones is the last bullet point here, which is if your program has not initiated all of the required checks on all of the individuals actively working or serving in covered positions in your AmeriCorps program as of the start date of the assessment period, then there will be disallowed costs. And so we wanted to have this call today to ensure that you all understand that by this coming Monday, October 13th, we are requiring that all programs are in compliance with initiating all of those required checks on all of your currently serving members and or currently employed grant-funded staff. And so that entails having run the NSOPWs. It entails having at least initiated the state of service and or state of residence check as applicable. And if you have recurring access to vulnerable populations, then that also includes initiating the FBI fingerprint-based check. And so I want you guys to spend the next few days designating a staff person to go through your records and just doing a double check that 100% of your covered individuals under the AmeriCorps program at your organization have had those checks initiated by this coming Monday, October 13th. Make sure that nobody slipped through the cracks. Make sure that all the forms were completed and signed. Make sure that you have a definition of what that initiation is for your organization and that you consider, that you consider 100% of those members and or grant-funded staff to have those checks initiated. So for some of you, it will be different depending on what your definition of initiation is, but basically all of those NSOPWs must be run because those are instantaneous results by this coming Monday the 13th, and the state and FBI checks must be initiated. So I want to be very, very clear about that on this call. And please let your grants officers know if you have any questions. And again, there won't be any findings or disallowed costs as long as you've initiated them by this coming Monday, October 13th. So even if you find an error now, it will not be a disallowed cost if you initiate them now. I also want to talk a little bit more about disallowed costs. In the same email below that paragraph, the corporation states that this moratorium on collection of costs does not apply to any pending question costs in OIG audits or related audits. So basically, if you have already paid back money or are in the process of paying back money related to criminal history checks, you still have to continue paying them back. And so I don't think this applies to any of you currently, but we will be working with you all if you have any outstanding items to work through this with you on disallowed costs. You will also be required to confirm that you have completed the required NSCHC compliance review, that you have documented and reported your findings to CNCS, and that you've implemented any corrective action needed to achieve complete and accurate compliance by the end of the assessment period on November 30th. So if we find any missing components of criminal history checks during the six-week period, you will be expected to correct them by November 30th. So the good news is that this gives us all a reset button. It gives us all 6 weeks to stop everything we're doing and look at our files and look at our records and make sure that we are ready to be in 100% compliance by December 1st. However, like I said, it is incredibly important that you designate somebody at your organization in the next few days to take a look, to go over all of the names of your currently enrolled members and grant-funded staff and make sure that you've at least initiated all required checks on them to show your due diligence. So, I think at this point, that's about all the information we have to share. I know that there was some questions out there in the field about some of the language in the CNCS email being a bit confusing, and I do want to reassure you that we have asked those questions of the corporation to have them clarify some of the language discrepancies, but by and large, this is great news, and this is something that it should be seen as a gift to all of us in the national service field. And we look forward to working with you between October 13th and November 30th to make sure that you all complete everything, that you all get your toolkit materials, and that you all are in 100% compliance by the end of the assessment period. So I think that's all I have to share, and we will now open it up for questions. So just be sure to unmute your line if you have a question.
Emily.
Yeah,
Emily, this is Monica of College Forward. How many program staff are they recommending that we designate to take this training?
They have not specified at all. So I will, my understanding is that we will be hearing from the corporation next Tuesday with more details, and the corporation will be training state commissions first next Tuesday, and that we will then be sharing that information and guidance with all of you as soon as we can next week.
Emily, this is Jennifer with CIS. I know you guys have forwarded our questions around the language. My concern is, if in this initial memo there's so many discrepancies with language, like, is that the case due to the training and the self-assessment? How are they ensuring high quality in the materials that they're going to have us do under this reset is my larger concern.
I don't have an answer for you on that, I'm afraid, Jennifer. I can assure you that before these things get published, they get reviewed by teams of lawyers and that they get reviewed by Office of Management and Budget. However, even then, you know, the people who review these things don't often run programs themselves, and so sometimes the discrepancies are very helpful if you point them out to us, and then we can submit those on up and ask for clarification or FAQs. My guess is that there will probably be an FAQs document that will come out after the toolkit is released to clarify any of those discrepancies, but we will certainly continue escalating those questions as you submit them to us.
Okay. Because some of them are really large, and they relate to compliance is my concern.
So, you want to share with the rest of the call what language you're referring to?
Well, I mean, I think some other programs may have caught it, but the third bullet on the first page says around NSOPW, it says before staff were hired. Well, staff could potentially be hired, but not be charged the grant for an entire year because they were doing something else. So we've always been told it had to be before grant work by CNCS, by the individuals presenting at national conference from CNCS, that it was before they were charged to the grant. And then FBI and state check not initiated before participants started service, whereas, again, it's been by start of service. So it's different language. And then the last one was training hours couldn't be accrued prior to checks being completed, which contradicts the initiation and accompaniment completely also. So there's some pretty big discrepancies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they might have no control over that. I'm just thinking if they're giving everyone a reset, just to make sure everyone's on the same page, it doesn't cause more confusion than there currently clearly is in the field.
Yeah, we understand. And I think we share your interpretation of most of those things, so I think we're hoping for CNCS to just clarify that they meant to include some of that phrasing.
Okay, thank you.
Emily, this is Keisha with Hippie.
Hi, Keisha.
Hey. I was just having a question about just documenting, like, your returning members. You know, if they have less than the 120-day break in service, then you don't have to reinitiate. Just how, because we have a large number of returning members every year. So just, you know, is there going to be a place to just kind of indicate that, you know, if the FBI check or whatever was done, you know, last year or whatever, but, you know, just kind of clarifying that.
That's a great question. I also don't know the answer to that. That could be an FAQ. I'm not sure exactly what the assessment will look like, if it will just be a SurveyMonkey questionnaire, if there will be spreadsheets that have to be submitted or attachments or scanned versions of things submitted or not. My guess is we have a program director in Texas I know who likes to say, put a memo on it. So my advice to you is put a memo on it. It's always good to have a memo in a file explaining that they were a returning member that had less than a 120-day gap and that, you know, you therefore have the check, the verification form and the check, you know, any check information is in the first year's file. So anytime you can include a memo explaining that, I think that you've strengthened your case.
Awesome. And then we'll just let Laura know. We'll be bugging her.
Okay. She's sitting here. She hears you.
Ah, no, so smile big for us because we're going to call.
Okay. And they just make a copy of their consent and the verification form from the first year file and put it in their second year file.
Yeah, you can do that too. Just make copies.
Yeah. Great. This is Mary Ellen. I have a quick question. So we had a situation where one of our members from last year became staff, and so it was less than 120 days. And does that coverage count when they move into a staff position? Like it counts if they came back as a member?
Good question. So my understanding and Laura's understanding is that that is allowable because they did not transfer programs or organizations. They're still working for the same, under the same AmeriCorps program. Yeah, so you should be fine with that. The issue is more if, you know, a member gets a job at a different program than the child actually has to be rerun by legal organization name.
Right, it doesn't transfer. Thanks.
Can you remind us again just when this toolkit will be sent out? Is it next week that you said?
We don't have a specific date, but we've been told by the corporation that they will be having a call with us at the statewide level next Tuesday. So I'm hoping we'll have the materials by next Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And then you'll get the toolkit via email and whatnot. Okay.
Yeah. It may take a day or so just for us to get it out to you all, but we will send it as soon as we can share it. Any other questions? I will just note as well that make sure when you go back over the next few days to double check that all checks have been initiated by Monday, October 13th, that you look for any longstanding employees or staff who charge time to the AmeriCorps grant. We have found more findings with longstanding staff who some folks may have believed were grandfathered in. And sometimes those are the trickiest staff because they've been around so long that a criminal history check has just never been done on them. So please use this opportunity to look back at any longstanding staff that you may have who are charging time to your AmeriCorps program grant.
And hey, this is Linda with AIC, AmeriCorps. And I'm a little fuzzy on the state of service check, so if they're doing service in Texas, we're good with the FBI and state checks we're running here. Or do I have to do an additional check for the state that they list as their permanent address?
So that's a tricky question. If they listed a different state of residence, and you consider them to be a resident of another state, and the member, the applicant or member considers themselves to be a member of another state or a resident of another state, you do need to be running that check for the state of residence as well as the state of Texas. So we can make sure, if you want to check in with your grants officer about that, that might be a good thing. State of residence checks can be tricky. And this is also a good time to remind everybody that if you have a member from another state and you cannot gain access to the state repository for that state to run that check, then we need to be working with you to submit an alternate search protocol or an ASP to the corporation. So this might be a good time for you all to reassess if we need to be working with you to submit any ASPs to the corporation to ensure your compliance. And I also want to remind those of you who might have an existing ASP, if we have several programs that have ASPs for some of the more complicated states like Arizona, you do need to renew those ASPs annually. So make sure to check with your one-star grants officer if you need to resubmit any of your ASPs on your behalf. They actually require that you get a rejection letter from that state repository every year. I think the corporation hopes that more of these states will come around and start recognizing that we do need access to them for national service purposes. So they're hoping there will be fewer and fewer rejection letters over time. But it is possible that you might still be being rejected by other state repositories. So Linda, you and others may need to submit ASPs for any of those states that you're having trouble with.
Okay.
Emily, this is Jill Humphrey.
Hi, Jill.
Hey, I have an ASP that is in reference and kind of talking back about, you know, employees that have been around for a really long time. They've had all the appropriate sound checks, but the ASP that I just received it, it's back in, I guess the letter I submitted in January. It was approved to use the school district's methodology for background checks, and then I run the additional NSOPW. Does that need to be resubmitted each year as well? Or am I still okay for this year on the ASP that I submitted?
Randy, I think I can end with that. Typically, the corporation puts expiration dates on ASPs, so if it doesn't have an expiration date, then you don't need to resubmit. But some of them do have expiration dates. Typically the one related to state repositories. So Miranda's going to look into that and email you about that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, we appreciate everyone's time. Miranda's going to take one more roll call. Has anybody joined us that did not speak up at the beginning?
Yes. This is Natasha Turner from Case AmeriCorps.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, Miranda.
And this is Mary Norris-Worthy at Project Transformation.
Great.
And this is Raul with AISD also.
Okay. All right, great. Anybody else? Okay, well, we appreciate your time, and we look forward to hearing about your 100% compliance by November 1st. And please do use the next few days of your grace period to double-check all your files and that everything has been initiated by Monday, October 13th. And we will speak with you all on our full regular call next Thursday the 16th at our regular time at 1 o'clock. It will be a relatively brief call. We know that's a busy day with report deadlines and everything for you all. But we do need to just have a brief update call for all of you on the 16th. So we look forward to talking to you then. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.